I hope this morning you'll take out your Bibles and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. If you have a worship bulletin, you can take that out and turn to that as well and take some notes. I couldn't tell that to the first service this morning because they couldn't see their notes to take any. All right, but y'all can this service. I was thankful for technology the first service. I preached from my iPad the first service. I could actually see my notes. Wasn't that good? So I'm not using it this service, so don't worry, all right? For some of you technology folks that don't like technology, I'm not using it this service, all right? But we have been making our way through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we've come to the end of our journey this morning. And we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to talk today about where meaning is really found. In fact, you know, as we've been making our way through Ecclesiastes, we've seen a lot of things. And one thing that Solomon has pointed out is something that I've noticed about people. And when I say people, I'm including myself in that list. I've noticed that people have a hard time being content. You know, someone gets a flat screen TV for the home, and that's not enough because now they need a flat screen for the other room, right? One's not enough. We need two. Families end up with two cars that are paid for and get somewhere they need to go, but that's not enough because now what we need is a new car. We get our home and we live in it and it seems to be just perfect for us. And then before you know it, now it's too small. And so what do? We need to buy us a bigger and better home before we can think we're going to be satisfied. From there, we have a closet full of clothes that we hardly ever wear. But what do we need? We need Easter to come around, right? Because I can buy another outfit that I can wear on Easter so then I can hang it in the closet with all the others, right? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's just not enough. Our team wins the national championship, and that just doesn't do it for us because then we need another, and then we need another championship, right? And then we need another and another, and when will we ever be satisfied? Let's be honest, never. You get a raise, you know, and you worked hard for that raise, and you're excited about that raise, but then a little time passes, and you think that raise just wasn't enough, all right? I need just even a little bit more. And then, of course, we get our iPhones, right? Got my iPhone 4. I don't have one, but somebody did, right? And now, you know what? That just didn't cut it because guess what I need now? Yeah, you see? Yeah, I knew some of y'all, right? I've hit some of you. In fact, why don't you do something? It'll be much better this service. Look at the person next to you and says, I think he's talking about me. Hey, Roy, go ahead. Come on now, Roy. Come on. He wasn't going to do it. All right, now we don't like to admit it, all right? We don't like to admit it. But isn't that really us? We find it so hard to be content. You see, I may not have hit the one thing that it is for you, but you know you have your thing. All right, there's that thing in your life that you think that you really need. And again, as we've looked at the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon has just been describing life as he saw it, but it's life as we live it. He looked around and he saw mankind's attempt at finding contentment and more specific meaning in life, and he saw that it was all vanity. He saw that it was all meaningless. He saw all that mankind tried and pursued in order to find meaning, and he realized that everything ended up with meaninglessness. Nothing they tried satisfied. Now, why is that? Because most people have not realized where meaning is really found. Now, ask yourself this question: why is it that none of these things that Solomon looked at brought meaning to people's lives? And why do those things not bring meaning to our lives? Why is that? Why is that? Ask yourself the question. Why? Well, I've got an answer for you this morning, and here it is. Because we were never created to find meaning in the things of this world. We were never created to find meaning in the things of this world. We can continue to pursue meaning and happiness in the things of this world, but I will tell you, it will be an endless pursuit. The things of this world will never satisfy. Now, as I make that statement, some of you might be getting a feeling of hopelessness. You say, well, if nothing in this world will satisfy me, then life has no meaning, you think. Well, folks, that's simply not true. What you have to do is to look in the right place to find meaning. And if you do, their satisfaction will be realized. You see, Solomon didn't share all this with us to leave us in despair. I mean, maybe he has gone to great pains, and we think maybe to extreme pains, to make the point of the meaninglessness of the pursuits of this world. But he didn't leave us without hope. In fact, along the way, Solomon, in his message, he has been dropping us hints of the answer that we seek. But he's not leaving us in the dark. In fact, he ends his message just as he should, highlighting what we really need to know. Listen to the last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. This is what he says. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. In fact, let's focus on verse 13. Let me read it again. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man. Here's what Solomon says. He says, here's the end of the matter. In other words, this is where it has all led us. He is saying, this is what you really need to know. He is saying, this is what you have been looking for. You know, if you're going on a treasure hunt, you would have clues to follow, and along the way, you would have experiences, you would have some obstacles, you'd reach some milestones, you'd be forced to make some decisions, but all would be leading you to the place that we would call X marks the spot, right? The place that you've been looking for on that treasure hunt, the conclusion of what you were looking for. And Solomon wants us to know, here is the X marks the spot. Here is what we've been looking for. Along the way, we've experienced some unfulfilling pleasures. Along the way, we've learned a little bit about worship. At some point, we were even told that everything has its time and its place. We even had to face the reality that death is something all of us have to face someday. But none of those things were what we were searching for. They've given us some insight. They have pointed us in some different directions. But none of the things has helped us find the meaning that we were looking for. But now we have arrived. The search is over. And where has it led us? It has led us to this conclusion. That the only place where we will find meaning is in God. You can look anywhere else you want, folks. But listen. The only place meaning is found is in God and in God alone. And to help us understand what this means, we're going to look at two aspects of that. I mean, how is it that we find meaning in God? Well, first of all, if you want to find meaning, you find meaning in the proper fear of God. Solomon tells us that we are to fear God. Now, as he says that, and you hear Solomon say, fear God, what comes to mind for you? When you hear that, does that sound like a positive thing or a negative thing to you? You see, for most of us, let's be honest, when we hear fear God, that's a negative thing for us. We have this negative reaction immediately. And why is that? Because we don't see fear as a good thing. Now, let me go ahead and pause and say this. I do agree that inappropriate fear can be a bad thing. But let me go ahead and say this. You ready? Appropriate fear is a good thing. And I'm going to illustrate that for you this morning. Because do you think the fear of death is a good thing? Some of you are going to say no, right? I'm here to tell you, I think a little fear of death is a good thing. You know, many of the things that we attempt in life, we attempt because we don't fear death like we should. If not, you got a teenager in your home? Many of your teenagers will do crazy things. And why? Because they have a feeling of invincibility. You see, they don't think they can ever die, so they go out and they do crazy things. They do life-threatening things because they don't have a fear of death. What they need is a fear of death. In fact, I remember in my own life when my mortality began to sink in, and I'm going to tell you about it. It happened for me when I was in college. For 3.5 years of my college experience, I commuted to Western Kentucky University from E-Town. That means I drove 1.5 hours to go to class, and then after class was over, I drove 1.5 hours to come home. I used to know I-65 South like the back of my hand, all right? It was not a lot of fun, but I did that. And I remember one semester, I happened to have a night class, which meant it met, and I didn't get out at Bowling Green time until 9 o'clock at night. That was 10 o'clock E-Town time. So it meant at 10 o'clock at night, I began my journey back home. So I was going to get home at about 11:30 at night. Well, this one particular night, I mean, I was just tired. That night class was a horrible class anyway. And so I got out of class. I'm ready to be home. And this particular night, it was pouring down rain. It was pitch dark because of the rain. And it was just miserable. I mean, I already felt bad anyway. And I was just ready to get home. And so I hopped on I-65 North, headed home. Now, at the time, I drove a little Toyota Tercel. Now, I don't know if you remember what the Toyota Tercels looked back in the late 80s, early 90s, but it was a little bitty old car, all right? It wasn't very big, had tires about this wide. I mean, how those things ever stand on the road, I don't know. And so it's pouring down rain. I'm driving a little Toyota Tercel, and that's hard to keep on the road anyway with those little tires, all right? But keep in mind, I was ready to get home. So what did I do? Wait, y'all jump ahead of the story. No. I found a semi to get in its tailwind. Drafting is a pretty neat thing. You ever been in the draft of a semi? It'll suck it out of the road, especially when you're driving a little Toyota Tercel. It'll pull you along, you know. Get in that draft, and it just brings you. I thought, I'm saving gas, right? No. Keep in mind now, you remember the whole story? It's pouring down rain. It's dangerous anyway. I'm behind this semi heading home. But here's the part I haven't told you yet. That semi was driving 90 miles per hour. Y'all getting a picture? I'm in a little Toyota Tercel, driving, pouring down rain, behind a semi, in its draft, driving 90 miles per hour. Here is me. You ready? Seriously, that's what it's like in a little Toyota Tercel, 90 miles per hour, driving rain. Now, here's the part of the story that's important. You ready? Here's the part of the story that's important. Somewhere in the middle of that drive, something clicked in my brain. Keep in mind, I'm in college. I'm kind of on that teetering age of I think I'm invincible versus I'm growing, I'm becoming an adult. Things are starting to get clear to me in life. And somewhere in the middle of that drive, something clicked in my brain that says, I could die. Right? I could die. I thought, one moment of hydroplaning and it's gone. It's over. I'm in this Tercel. I mean, if I wreck, I mean, there's nothing around me. I'm probably going to die here. And somewhere it clicked, it says, you know what? I'm really not ready to die. And I said, it's more important that I get home than when I get home. And instantly, I slowed down. The semi quickly got out of my sight because he kept driving 90. He didn't slow down. He didn't know I was behind him, probably, all right? And I just made my way home and said, I want to get home safely. I'm not ready to die tonight. And from that day forward, I drive a lot safer. In fact, some of you probably don't want to be behind me on Valley Creek Road, okay? I won't tell you who it was, but some person called me one day and said, hey, is that you in front of me? And I said, yeah, it is. I said, I've never driven 45 in my life, they told me. On Valley Creek Road. They said, I've never driven 45 on Valley Creek. Well, I said, you have today. You're behind me, right? And why is that? It's all because, for me, this fear of death that said, you know what? I don't want to do something that I'm going to call my premature death. So let me ask you, do you think my fear of death is a good thing? Absolutely, right? Because it protects me. And I'm going to tell you this, all right? Much greater than my fear of death while driving makes me drive safely, the proper fear of the Lord is a good thing for our lives, because a healthy fear of the Lord will dictate many things about our life, and it will all be for your good. Do I need to say that again? A healthy fear of the Lord will dictate many things about your life, and it will all be for your good. Here's why it will be for your good. You ready? Because God loves us and he wants the best for us. See, we know this because his word tells us. Listen to what James 1 says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fact, let me say this. If you've ever been told that God is not good, then that is wrong. Somebody lied to you. Because the Bible makes something very clear. That every good and perfect gift comes from God and God alone. In Matthew 7:11, we were told this. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You see, God is a loving God. We should never doubt that. And we know that how much he loves us because he demonstrated how much he loves us by the truth of John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have what? See, really, that's the only truth I need to know about God's love. But here's what it tells me, that God loves me so much that he sent Jesus to die for me, that I wouldn't have to perish for my sins, but that I could have eternal life through a faith in Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, is there any greater love than that? No. God, our loving Father, instead of punishing for us for our sins, wants instead to forgive us of our sins by himself taking the punishment for us. That's an amazing thing. And what this shows is simply this, that God is indeed a loving heavenly Father. And though I am called to fear him, I know it is a good thing because I am fearing one who wants the best for me. And if my fear of God causes me to do his will, then that fear blesses my life as it leads me into the good things that God wants for me. Does that make sense? See, here's what I know as a parent. I want my children to have a certain fear of me. I want my kids to know that I love them. I want my kids to love me. But I also want my kids to have a healthy fear of me. Why? Because as their parent, I am a little older. I am a little wiser. Right, kids? Y'all supposed to say amen to that. And here's what I know. As a loving father, I want the best for them. And where am I trying to guide them? I'm to guide them down paths that are good for them. Paths that I know are the right ones they need to be on. And so I want them to fear me, because if there's a fear of me that says, okay, I'm going to do what my dad says, even if they're driven a little bit out of fear, to me that's an okay thing if they take the right path, because they'll understand on that path is also my love, my unconditional love. But it is a path that says, hey, it is good for me. And so today we need to fear God because he loves us, knowing that on that path is a path of blessing. And here's a few of the benefits, look, of fearing God properly. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. And catch this. If you fear the Lord, you can discover wisdom. See, too often, because we don't fear God, we never look to him for wisdom. We just do what we think is right or what feels good to us. But listen, we end up sometimes just messing things up. But if we fear the Lord, here's what he says he'll do. He'll give us wisdom and understanding, which will lead us to the best in life. It will lead us down the right path. It will lead us to do the right things. And there we will find a blessing in life. Then Proverbs 10:27 says this. The fear of the Lord, look at this, prolong lives. But the years of the wicked will be short. The fear of the Lord prolongs life? Really? Really? Yes, as a general rule. Now, here, we all know people who love God who died young. We all know that. But many of the people, I think if you really think, you'll agree with me on this, right? Many of the people who die young because they were living in ways opposed to God's will, and it caused their premature death. Right? One way or another, right? I must have hit some of you right in the eye because y'all don't want to say amen to that one, right? If you fear God and walk in his ways, the probability of your life being prolonged is increased dramatically. Then Proverbs 14:26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a, look at this, a fountain of what? Life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Listen, the second half of this is really saying the same as Proverbs 10:27, or maybe even pointing us forward to Jesus Christ, because that's where life is really is found. But I like the first part of this that says the fear of the Lord brings a strong confidence and allows our children to have a refuge. Just know this. All right, when you fear the Lord, you have an anchor to hold on to. My life has a strength to it, not because of who I am, but because I know there is a God who is anchoring my life. And because of that, if I know that, I can have a strong confidence that not even the difficult times of life have to derail me. Why? Because I know there's a loving Heavenly Father who wants the best for me. And if I hold tight to him, everything in the end is going to be okay, right? And I can pass that confidence even on to my children. One more thing, Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. And whoever has it rests how? Let me ask you this. Anybody here wants, anybody like to rest satisfied? Who's looking for satisfying rest? All right, okay, I see your head. You don't have to raise your hand. That's fine, all right. I know Baptist Church, remember, we don't like to raise our hands. We want to rest satisfied. Well, how do you do that? Listen, it's through a proper fear of the Lord. See, the right fear of the Lord, look, it doesn't keep me up at night. The proper fear of God allows me to sleep at night and rest satisfied. And what a great thing that is. You know, when I'm living a life that fears God properly, I will live in such a way that allows me to rest each night knowing I have done what I should have done. There will not be guilt and regret or fear to keep me awake at night because I've done what I need to do. And when I'm living a life that fears God properly, I can rest at night also knowing this, that God will take care of the things that I can't. You see, when I've done what I need to do and done all that I can lay down at rest and say, okay, God, I've done what I can do. I've done what you've asked me to do. And now I'm going to rest believing, Lord, if there's things that I can't take care of, you can. And so tonight I lay down with rest. You see, it's truly like the child of a loving parent who knows that you're cared for and you can rest at night knowing this, that love and protection are always near. It's like I tell my kids, especially when they're young, if you need me at night, you know where I am. I'm right here in bed. You can come find me. All right? No, love and protection is not far away. And if you're a child of God and you're doing His will, that's how you can do. You can rest at night knowing what? That love and protection is not far away. My God is here for me. Now let me ask you, after hearing these things that I've shared, does fearing God sound like a good thing or a bad thing to you? Good? Some of y'all not convinced yet? We'll share some more afterwards, right? I'll talk with you. It's a good thing. So here's my question. Do you have a healthy fear of God? Do you have a fear of God that dictates the way you live your life? If not, you need to grasp the full picture of who God is so that you can have a fear that leads you down the right path, for we need a fear of God if we're going to find meaning in life. Now, look, as one fears the Lord, it leads to this next part because it's two part. Look at what Solomon said again at the end of the matter, back to verse 13. He said, here's the end of the matter. All's been heard. Fear God. We just talked about that. And do what? And keep His commands. All right? Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. See, folks, listen. We find meaning in life with a proper fear of God, but also with that, meaning in life is found in obeying God's commands. Are you aware today that God does not intend for His commands to be a weight around our neck that causes us to break beneath the burden? God's commands have always been given for our good. When God commands us not to commit adultery, He is not saying that to deny us pleasure. He is saying that because He knows this, that in a loving, faithful, committed relationship is where one can be most satisfied. That's what He means. When God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, He's not giving us a legalistic burden meant to limit our freedom. He is giving us a command that He knows is for our benefit because He's created our bodies with limits to remind us that we must depend on Him. And rest is one thing that we need, and He's saying, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy and rest, because in that day, what are we to do? Remember God. We are to remember Him and to remember our dependence upon Him. It's meant to point us back to the God who loves us. And this morning, I could go on and on and on about God's commands and how they are meant for our good. But I'm not going to waste all of our time there, but just know this. You need to know that God's commands lead us to the place where you are most fulfilled, right? If you follow His commands, that's where fulfillment can be found. And when I think even about what it is that God commands us to do, I'm reminded that what God really wants us to do is not that hard. Let me ask you this. How many of you here this morning, by raise of hand, would say, I think what God wants me to do is hard? Be honest. Be honest. Yeah, thank you for some honesty. Yes, honesty, honest folks. Praise the Lord for honest people. A lot of times we think what God wants us to do is hard. It's not. Jesus, in fact, was asked, what are we to do? Listen to this, this little discussion in Matthew 22. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And He, that being Jesus, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. All right? And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Is that hard? Here's what He said. What does God really command us to do? Number one, we're to love Him with all who we are. That's really having a proper fear of God. Amen? And then loving others in the way that we would want to be loved. Does that sound too difficult to you? Why are you laughing, Robbie? You got some friends it's hard to love? Listen though, folks. Honestly, can I tell you? It shouldn't be too hard for us to love God with all of our heart and then love others in the way that we would want to be loved. You know what? You don't need a list of rules. If you go to a church that gives you about 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 rules that you got to follow to be right with God, I'm here to tell you, you just need to ignore that place and you find a place that says this, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You do that and then love others in the way that you would want to be loved. Right there's all you need to know, and then you've got it figured out. That should have been a place for an amen, right? That's really what God wants for us. And if we do this, if we do those two things, folks, much of the rest of life takes care of itself, does it not? Because let me ask you this. If you go to a store and somebody, you're out there and there's a clerk who's behind the counter and she hands you back too much change, right? And you were working that counter, what would you want somebody to do? So I'm standing here, I'm the one receiving it. I'm to love others as I want them to love me. What should I do? Give it back. Is that hard? You see the point? You do those two things, folks, and it's not that bad. And see, God knew this truth. He knew that we would pursue after many things, worry about many things, and we'd end up empty. And that's why Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll probably go ahead. Let's just say this. Fear God and keep his commands. That's seeking first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, he just simply says, all right, if you follow after me, and you seek after me, you fear me, right, you follow my commands, then all your needs will be met, and met in a healthy way. You know, when I seek God's will first, he doesn't lead me down the path of unhealthy debt. He doesn't lead me into the path of an unhealthy lifestyle. He doesn't lead me into things that would destroy my life. Instead, when I seek his will first, he leads me in ways that are truly beneficial to my life. In fact, when we love God and follow his commands, we do things and pursue things that really make a difference now and forever. That led the Apostle Paul to say this in 1 Corinthians 15. As he was talking about the hope Jesus brings in death, he said this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in. Solomon has just spent a whole book telling us what? Everything is vain. Everything is vanity. Everything is meaningless. What Paul says? He says, listen, your labor in the Lord is not in. See, anything we do for the Lord is not in vain. It will not only be rewarded now, but more importantly, forever in heaven. You see, folks, catch this. If we build ourselves big homes on this earth now, here's what we all know. They're going to fade away, right? Someday, they're going to crumble and they're going to fall. We can spend our time building our wealth and piling money into our life. But folks, they're never going to satisfy. Remember what Solomon even said? One of these days, we're going to die. What's going to happen to that money? We're just going to pass it on to somebody else. And what are they going to do with it? They're going to blow it because they didn't earn it, right? So he says, why do we spend all our time? The main thing is, look, we look and we do the will of God. And when we do the will of God, it will be rewarded. It's not going to be in vain. And so he says, listen, pursue after the things of God. You see, meaning really is found simply and having a proper fear of God and following his commands. Can I ask, do you get those 2 points today? Yes or no? You get that? 2 things, fear God and follow his commands. Now, if you got that, before I close, I want to give you 2 quick pointers that will help you fear God properly and follow his commands. You ready? 2 quick things. Number one is this. Let God's word be your only source of truth. Look at what Solomon said in verses 10 and 11. He said, the preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of what? Truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. Let me pause. You know what goads are? Y'all don't know what goads are you? Anybody know what a goad is? Something back in Solomon's time, it was kind of this board, and they had little prickly things, and so when they were helping their cattle in the right way, they would use that to get the cattle to go in the right way. All right, keep them on track. Got it? You get the point now? The words of the wise are like goads. They keep you in the right direction. Clear? Because I know all of you are wondering, what are goads, right? That's what it is. And like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given, look at this, by what? One shepherd. My son, be aware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Here's what we know of Solomon's story. And that is his wisdom was from whom? Where was his wisdom from? God, right? And Solomon is pointing us to the fact that the words that he gave us are truth from one shepherd. And that one shepherd is God. And he is warning us to be aware of anything beyond these, because there will be many books that come claiming to have truth. Just know that Solomon was one of those men that God inspired to write down his truths, which are now a part of God's source of truth, the Bible, right? Back it fits to what Peter said in 2 Peter 1:20, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, how was this book written? As God inspired men through the Holy Spirit to write his truths down. And Paul then went on to tell us about this word in Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our what? Instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what? Hope. I'm here to tell you, folks, it is only when we let God's word be our own source of truth that we can most clearly understand who God is. Do you want to know who God is so you can fear him properly? Look, Read this, and you'll understand who God is, and you can fear him properly. Do you hear me? How do you know what God wants you to do? You read this word right here, and you'll discover God's commands, and you'll discover, which is what I really even just told you, it's really not that hard. It's really all about loving him and loving others as you'd want to be loved. It's not that hard if you'll read it right here. This book will tell you. And you can spend your life reading all kinds of other books, and you're wasting your time. This is the only one that really matters. If you'll let this be your only source of truth, you'll find a fear of God, and you'll be able to follow his commands. Do you got that? One other pointer is this. Then if you want to find this meaning in life, it comes, and you need to begin when? Now, why do I say that? Look how Solomon started this chapter. Back to verse 1. I saved this to the end. Solomon said, remember also your creator in the days of your... When is that? That's when you're young, right? That's now. That's for me now. My wife's laughing the hardest. That's not funny. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. Here's what Solomon is saying, all right? Remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, of which you will say, I have no pleasure. He spends the rest of the chapter until we get to the last two verses, basically telling you how bad it is to get old. Go and read the chapter. That's what he's saying. All right? The days when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Because my eyes have faded. I can't hear anymore. I can't even hardly stand up anymore because my bones ache so much. There's not a lot of pleasure in that. Any senior adults want to say amen? All right, we got a few of them that say, I understand that. Psalm is saying, don't wait to fear God. Don't wait to obey his commands. He is saying, do it now. Because look, life passes us by quickly. And if we are not careful, life for us will be over and it will be too late. You see, some of you have said this. I will follow God. I'll follow God, but not now. I'll do it later. Right? I'll follow God. I believe what you're saying. All right? Just later. Can I ask you? When's later? When's later? You see, many people who take this attitude never get around to giving their life to the Lord and following him. If they do, here's what happens. If they do, they end up coming to him with so much baggage in their life because they spent years not living for God that now they have lives that are filled with pain and regret. I'm here to tell you, now is the time to fear the Lord properly and follow his command. Students, let me say to you, we got students in this section. We got students scattered all out. Let me give you some advice. You ready, students? Y'all listening? Let me tell you right now is the time for you to fear God properly and to follow his commands. Don't wait. When so many of your friends are doing things that you know are wrong, it's obvious wrong, I have to tell you what's going to happen later in life. If you choose to follow God right now, here's what's going to happen. The older you get, you're going to appreciate that you chose to follow God in his commands and fear him. You'll appreciate the older you get. Right now, you might be looking at your friends and saying, oh, but I think they're having more fun than me. I guarantee you, if you follow God, later in life, you'll look back and say, man, I'm glad where I am today because I see my friends and look where what they did got them. They have so many regrets, so much pain. Trust me, I got a lot of friends, all right, that did things in school that I didn't do. And I'd much rather have my life today than the life they have today. Students, listen. Today is the day. While you're young, choose to fear God and follow his commands. Your life will be blessed. Young adults, if you're here today, let me tell you, it's not too late for you. If you've not been living for God, don't let any more time pass you by. Today is the day to start. Older adults, it's still not even too late for you. As long as you have breath, fear God and follow his commands. If you do, you will find the best years of your life are still ahead. Now let me say this. Right now, no matter what your age is, if you find yourself in a situation where you know you're not fearing God and obeying his commands, don't think it's too late for you. Here's what some of you are thinking. Brother Scott, I hear what you're saying. I like it, but you don't know my situation. I'm just in a situation and I can't get out. I can't change. I don't think there's hope for me. Can I tell you this? There's always the possibility to change. Don't ever think you're stuck in a situation that you can't get out. You can always choose to fear God and to follow His commands. If you don't believe me, I've got an exercise for you to do today. You ready? I'm going to give you a little homework. I want you to go and read Luke chapter 15. Here's what you'll find in Luke chapter 15. You'll find a story that we like to call the story of the prodigal son. I truly believe that story is mistitled by us as Christians, because here's the real title of that story. It's the loving father is what it's all about. You hear me? Let me tell you what happens in that story. The son comes to his dad and basically says, "Dad, I wish you was dead. I want your inheritance. Give it to me now." That's really what he said. So he went to do his old thing. So his dad gave his inheritance. He said, "Okay, son, that's what you want. Go have your way." What did he do? The son went out, blew all that money, messed his life up, got as low could go. He was a Jewish boy, and he was ready to eat the slop with the hogs. If you know anything about Jewish boys, the pigs were off limits, right? Is a picture of he got as low as he could go. What happened in that moment when he was as low as he could go? The scripture says he came to his senses, and this is what he said. "It would be better to be a slave in my father's house. I think I'll go ask my dad if I can be his servant." He finally had a proper fear of his father, don't you think? Right? Some of your parents should have laughed at that one, right? Some of y'all got a smile. Yeah, I wish my kids would think that. He finally had a proper fear of his dad and said, "You know what? It'd be better if I just went home and said, 'Dad, I want to be your servant.'" And so the boy got up out of that pit, went home, headed to his father's house. He tops the top of the hill, and what happens? As soon as he does, the father sees him coming over the hill. Why is that? Because really the story is about a loving father. And what was he doing? The whole time he was waiting for his son to come home. And so the moment that he saw his son, what did that father do? He took off running to his son. He embraced his son. He kissed him. He put on the family ring in his finger just to say, "I want you to know you're still my son." And when the son's saying, "Dad, just make me your servant." Dad not having any part of that. He's putting on the ring. He's giving him a robe. He's throwing him a party. And what did he say? "We're going to celebrate because my son was dead, but now he is alive again. My son has come home." Can I tell you, for some of you, you've not been fearing God. You've not been following His commands. Maybe right now this morning you're as low as it can go. You feel like your life is so messed up. God wouldn't want anything to do with you. I'm here to tell you, the moment you come to your senses and say, "It would be better to be a servant in my father's house," and you run to God, here's what God wants to do for you. He wants to say, let me remind you, Jesus Christ, my son, died on a cross for you to forgive you of your sin. And I don't want you to come and be my servant. I want you to come and be my son. I want you to come and to be my daughter. And the moment you turn back to God and say, "I'm going to fear you and follow your command," He's waiting with open arms to say, "Welcome home, my son. Welcome home, my daughter." And maybe some of you right now need to come. Am I here to tell you, don't wait another day. Today is the day to begin to fear God and follow His commands. If you do, I'll guarantee the best years of your life lie ahead. Let me ask you, do some of you need to come today to find meaning in life? Do you need to come and fear God and follow His commands? Let this be the time that you come. Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, I'm thankful that Solomon really here just gets to the point and he says, here's the end. Here's the end of the matter. And he let us know really the sum of it, that we just need to fear God and follow His commands. And I pray, Father, there'd be some here today that would say, "That's what I need to do." And they would say, "I'm not going to wait any longer. I don't need to get any older. I need to come right now and begin to follow God." And I pray this would be the day that some would choose to give their life to You. So bless this time of invitation, Lord. Help people to walk into the blessing that You want for them as a loving Father if they'll just turn to You. And so, Father, as I pray these things, I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.